Thank you, Jennifer. We appreciate that. Take your Bible now, please. We're going to look at one verse for our text verse today. This is Friend Day, and we do appreciate so many of you bringing your friends with you. Some are in the children's churches, some are in the youth church. We're glad you took time to invite them, and a number of them here in the auditorium. I want to preach on the subject today of how to be a friend of God. How to be a friend of God. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. The Bible says in this verse, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? If you want to have friends, be friendly. You meet a lot of people who you speak to and they don't speak back. And then they wonder why they don't have any friends. That doesn't add up as far as the way they would conduct themselves. If they want to have friends, if I want to have friends, I should try to be friendly. That's a Bible principle, isn't it? Now, he says in the last part of that verse, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who do you think he was talking about? I think we all know he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I read about a doctor who had been calling on a lady that was very, very sick. Her name happened to be Maria. It was back in those days when they did, and over in England. And he talked with her, and she was so ill, she was close to the point of death. And he said, I cannot believe that somebody hadn't helped you or gotten you to a doctor and really tried to take care of you. And she said, well, I have no friends. I have no friends at all. And he said, are you sure you don't have any friends? She said, well, the only friend I can remember is Queen Victoria. When we were little girls, there was a situation where we made friends, and she was my friend. But now she's the queen. I rather doubt if she would want to help me out. This lady was poor, poverty-stricken, having a hard time, could hardly make ends meet, and now she was ill. Well, this doctor thought it'll be worthwhile, maybe, to write a letter to the queen. I doubt if she'll answer, but we'll see. And he wrote her the letter and told her the story that Maria had related to him. And so whenever Queen Victoria got the letter, she remembered it. And she sent the information back and the right kind of credentials, saying that Maria would be taken care of the rest of her life, that she was indeed her friend. Well, thank God for friendship. But the greatest friend that anybody could have would be the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the greatest opportunity afforded to mankind to have Jesus Christ as your friend. You have no greater opportunity than this. If I were to ask you today, who would you like for your friend to be? Some of you'd say, I'd like Bill Gates to be my friend. Real close friend, because he has a lot of money and he could pay off all of my debts. Isn't that what a real close friend would do? Especially if they had that kind of money, they ought to, shouldn't they? You'd say, I'll take Bill Gates as my friend, or maybe some movie star, or some television personality that is very wealthy. I can't believe the money some of these people make. And some of their jokes are worse than mine. But they make good money at it. Big time money. And some of us will say, well, if I could just be a friend of that movie star or that TV personality, man, I'd have it made. Every once in a while we have the guy that plays, that does the part of John Wayne with us. And he is the best in the country at doing that. And some of you remember that he's been with us. We'll have him again someday. I always love to go out and eat with him. And we have a good time, because people forget whether John Wayne died or not, you know. And they think maybe he's John Wayne. One time we were eating in a restaurant on Sunday afternoon, and there was two elderly couples right beside us. And this older gentleman turned to him and he said, did anybody ever tell you you look like John Wayne? He said, no, Pilgrim, they tell me I look like Pee Wee Herman. I felt so sorry for the guy that asked the question. I thought that was sort of rude on the part of John Wayne there. But it's a lot of fun, you know. Everybody comes up and they want his autograph. By the way, every picture he gives is a track on the back that tells them how to get to heaven. And he could make a lot of money taking beer commercials and cigarette commercials. He will not do that. And he's very, very selective as an evangelist, of course, as to where he goes. But I'm glad that Jesus will be our greatest friend. And by the way, he was a friend to publicans and sinners. Maybe I should say Republicans too, I don't know. But definitely publicans and sinners, amen? And I'm glad that that is an opportunity that we all have. What is a friend of God? Who is a friend of God? What is a friend of God? Well, first of all, a friend of God knows him personally. If you want to be a friend of God's, you've got to know him in a personal relationship. Abraham, as we would know him, knew that. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, listen to what he says. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see, Abram knew the Lord personally. And God said, you and I are going to be friends, and I'm going to bless the whole world because we are friends. Abraham knew God in a personal relationship. Now, God does not carry on a conversation today as he did with Abraham. I know that he could do it, but this is not his way today. His way is to speak to us through his word. God can do anything he wants to do. If he decides to speak out loud to somebody, he can, but that is not the general way he deals with people today. But God does want to know you, and he does want to know me personally. And we can know him personally, and the way we get to know him personally is by getting born again. When I was 9 years of age, just a little tyke, a little boy, a couple of years ago, when I was 9 years of age at a little country church, on a Sunday night, my mother was sick. My daddy took me to church. And for some reason, I got away from him that night. He sat on the front row always. He was a deacon. Just a hint there. But at any rate, he sat on the front row. And I went back and sat with one of my buddies. And we talked a little bit. But the preacher got to preaching on the reality of hell and eternity. And I began to listen. And the Lord touched my heart and dealt with me. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now let me say something. I already knew about God. There are a lot of people who know about God, but they do not know God. There's a big difference in knowing about God and knowing God. I knew about God when I was 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. My mother and daddy had me in church, and my grandparents taught me about God, but I did not know God personally. But when I got saved, I became a friend of God's, and he became my friend, and we've had a pretty good walk together ever since. Now I know him personally, and I'm glad that I got saved. Do you know him personally? Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? If you do not know him personally, you may know about him, but you need to experience the new birth. That's the only way you'll ever really get to be the friend of God's, is the starting place, the foundational place. You must be born again. You have to be saved, friend. You may think you're God's friend before you're saved, but you're not. You may say, well, I don't oppose him, and that's all right. But he says, until you get saved, you are of your father, the devil. You're not a friend of God's until you get saved. And we have to be born again. A friend of God's really loves God. A friend of God's who is really saved, who really knows God, loves God. John 14, 15, listen to what he says. If ye love me, if you're a friend of God's, you're going to love him, right? You're saved. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love God today as your friend? Are you keeping His commandments? What are His commandments? Well, His commandments are things that He has taught us in the New Testament that we should do. Are we doing those things? It reminds me of the guy who was talking to his wife. And he said, "Darling, you know how much I love you. I would cross rivers that are flowing fast. I would go across the ocean if I could swim it. I'd go in any kind of weather just to be with you, just to meet you." And he named all of these sacrificial things he would do. She said, "Honey, how about washing the dishes?" He said, "Let's don't carry this too far now." And I meet a lot of people who say, "Oh, I know God. I'm saved. I love God." But they don't keep His commandments. None of us are perfect. But we ought to try to keep His commandments. We ought to try to do what He says do. If you love God, don't you think you'd go to church? Don't you think you'd go to church if you love God? Because He says go to church. If you love God, don't you think you'd give to missions? If you love God, don't you think you'd tithe? If you love God, don't you think you would obey Him in the matter of Bible reading? It's getting awful quiet. If you love God, don't you think you would be a person that would spend some time with Him on a daily basis in prayer? Something besides, "Lord, thank you for this food, gobble, gobble." Don't you think we'd spend some time with God if we loved Him and He's taught us to pray and to pray without ceasing? We need to do that. And not only that, 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Don't love this world system. Those who love God will not get caught up in the world system. The world system is all about making a name for ourselves, making money for ourselves, having bigger cars, bigger homes, making a name, having all this pleasure. We get wrapped up in the world and worldliness if we're not careful, because we don't love God. The Bible says, if any man love God, if you really love God, then you're not going to love the world. If we love the world, we don't love God like we should. We get caught up in the world, don't we? Going to and fro, doing this and doing that. James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." You can't serve mammon, money, and the world and God at the same time. You just can't do it. And too many people are right there. If we love God, we're going to obey God, and we're not going to be friends of the world system. A friend of God enjoys fellowship with God. I preached the other day in Iowa at a national meeting on fellowship with the Father. If we love God, we're going to desire fellowship with Him. We'll want that more than anything in the world. Anything that disturbs our fellowship, breaks our closeness to the Lord, that upsets that spirituality and that walk with Him as we walk daily with Him, anything that disturbs that is going to disturb us, because we love Him and we want to have fellowship with Him. And by the way, He wants to have fellowship with us. God wants our fellowship. You say, "Oh, God's too big and too great and too busy. He's not worried about my fellowship." He wants your fellowship. He wants my fellowship. He delights in our fellowship with Him. God wants us to fellowship with Him, and I believe that a friend of God fellowships with a Father. How are we going to do that? Again, through prayer and Bible study and attending church and worshiping together. All of these things speak of our fellowship with the Lord. Then I believe that a friend of God is going to be loyal to the cause of Christ. I believe they're going to be loyal. Abraham was loyal to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read about it. We don't have time. In Genesis 22, those first 14 verses, you can read about that loyalty. Abraham had faults. There's no question that he had faults. But here's the thing, his goal was to be loyal to the cause of Christ. And he stuck with it. He didn't always do everything right all the time, but the goal was always right in front of him, and he stuck with it and stayed with it all the way till the end. We need to be loyal to the Lord. If we're going to be his friend, be faithful. Be loyal. Be faithful where he's called you. Be faithful to what he's called you to do. Be loyal to the cause of Jesus Christ. A friend of God knows him personally. A friend of God loves God. A friend of God is interested in the things of God. A friend of God enjoys fellowship with the Father. There's no doubt about it. And a friend of God will be loyal. They will be loyal if they're friends of God. Now here's the big question. How do we become a friend of God? You become a friend of God by faith. It takes faith. You become a friend of God's by faith. In Hebrews, or James rather, 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There it is. Why? Because of his faith. God made him a promise, God told him, and he believed and acted on the promise of God. We become a friend of God's by faith, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We are going to become a friend of God's by faith. You see, it's not intellectual only. Again, getting back to knowing about God, it's not just mindset and knowing in our mind who Jesus is and that type thing. We must totally, completely, 100% rely and rest all of our hope in the future on nothing more, nothing less than Jesus Christ. We have to be saved by faith, Jesus said. If we would admit we're sinners and come to him and believe that we're lost, believe that we need a Redeemer, we need a Savior, and we would believe with all of our heart and confess Him with our mouth and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever think God shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you've got to rely on Jesus and nothing more. Don't rely on your church membership. Don't rely on the baptismal water. Don't rely on your good deeds. You must have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And thank God he died on the cross and paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And the only way you can become a friend of God's is by faith. You say, well, I wasn't there. I didn't see him die. I didn't either, but I believe it. And that's why I'm justified and on my way to heaven today, because I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. We also strengthen our friendship with God by obedience. Jesus said in John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends if you do what I command you. People that say, I'm a friend of God and we don't do what he says, there's something wrong with that. As I said, we're not perfect. We fail. But always the goal is right there. I'm doing my best by the grace of God to obey the Lord and to strengthen my friendship by obedience with Jesus Christ. And he says, you're my friends if, that's a big little word, if you do whatsoever I command you. If you want to be a friend of God, then you got to obey the Lord. We cannot be his close friend and walk in fellowship with him if we have sin in our lives. You say, well, the Bible says that we all are sinners and none of us are perfect and we're all going to sin. 1 John tells us that, and that's true. Well, there again, my friends, if we do sin, if we fail God, our heart is going to be broken. And we will be broken in our heart because our friendship has been disturbed until we get on our knees and admit our sin and name exactly what it is to God and make that thing right with God. Then that friendship, that closeness returns as God would have it to be. We strengthen our friendship when we obey the Lord Jesus Christ and we do what he says. That's why you ought to be baptized if you've been saved. You say, well, I was dunked and I was poured over and I was sprinkled on and everything else before I got saved, and that satisfies me. Listen, once you're saved, you're supposed to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. All the other things were nothing. They meant nothing. It is only scriptural baptism and obedience after you have been saved. And I believe scriptural baptism is by immersion, as the Bible teaches us that you ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, which is the baptism by immersion. That's what Jesus did. They went down into the Jordan, came up out of the Jordan River. Jesus was baptized by immersion. That's what the very word means, baptizo, to plunge beneath, to plunge below. And you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and find you a good Bible-believing church and get involved in that good Bible-believing church. Leave those dead liberal churches, get out of them, and just let them die. You say, but I'm a missionary to them. You will not be a missionary to them. They will pull you down. You study the book of Revelation, and if you mix somebody that's on fire for God and somebody that's dead and put them together, you put the heat and the cold together, what do you have? Lukewarmness. What is God's opinion of lukewarmness? He doesn't like it. And so we need to be friends of God's, and we need to follow the Lord in that and stewardship. And then friends become better friends through fellowship, as we've already mentioned that. And that's why we ought to come to church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I said to my wife when we headed out to church this morning, we don't have a traffic jam like we usually do. Man, to get out of Burleson, you need a helicopter nowadays. All the back roads and the main roads and everything else. And it takes, I used to be able to get to the church in 15 minutes from my driveway to here and be inside the building. Now it takes me 20 minutes to get to the freeway. But you know what? On Sunday morning, this morning, I didn't have a problem at all. I had nobody passing me, and I didn't have anybody hardly to pass. You know why? Because there's not a whole lot of people going to church. You say, well, maybe they were all in early service. I rather doubt that. But we need to, if we're going to have friends, if we're going to be friends with the Lord, rather, we need to be friends by assembling together with other people that are God's children. God says, don't fail to come to church. This is corporate worship. Where two or three are gathered together, there, God says, am I in their midst? Well, isn't he with us all the time? Yes, but not in this particular way. When there is corporate worship and we gather together, there's something about it that God is pleased with. And in a special way, God comes into the midst of those that are gathered together, two or three, in his name. And God wants us to be his friend. When President Edwards came to die, he talked to his relatives, his wife and friends that were gathered around, and said his last few words and bid them goodbye. Then when he got through, he said these words, now, where is Jesus of Nazareth, my true and never failing friend? I want to tell you, when you come to death's door, you're going to want to be able to say the same thing. You don't know when you're going to die, but thank God we can know that when we come to death's door, there'll be a friend there waiting on us with outstretched arms. And I believe that friend will be Jesus Christ. In whatever way he wants to do it, and however he wants to usher us into heaven, we will have a friend. But if you die without Jesus, without being born again, without being saved, you're not going to have a friend waiting on you. You're not going to have the sweet, precious Jesus Christ and the angels of heaven to bear you away into the very presence of the heavenlies. My friend, you'll have the demons of hell trying to pull you down into the eternal damnable abyss to be separated from God forever and forever. Let me tell you something. The devil is not your friend. He'll lie to you in a minute. He doesn't care. He'll lie to you. He'll tell you you can't hold out. He'll tell you that your other friends will make fun of you and you shouldn't get saved. He'll tell you you can't hold out. He'll tell you that you'll blow it later on and that you've done so many bad things that God will not and cannot forgive you. Let me tell you something. Don't believe his lies. He's not your friend. He's your enemy. And he wants to damn you to hell. But Jesus is your friend. And he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is your friend if you'll let him be your friend. I'm glad I trusted him as my Savior. He's my friend today. I hope I prove to him by my daily walk that he is my best friend. Other than that, my wife is, but above and beyond my wife and our friendship is my precious friendship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that means more to me than anything in this world. How about you? I hope it does. Let's stand, please. Do you know him personally today? Every head is bowed, just a moment. Do you know him personally? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven? You say, well, I hope so. I'm not real sure. Don't you want to trust him today as your Savior? And then, immediately, he becomes your friend. Now you know about him. Listen to me. I want you to know him personally. I want him to become your dearest and best friend. If you'll trust him today, leave your seat and come and say, I want to trust Christ as my Savior, and I take him as my friend. Are you saved? Are you treating him like he's your friend? Are you interested in what he's interested in? Do you love what he loves? Do you fellowship with him? Are you loyal to his cause? Are you walking with him? Is he really your best friend? Father, thank you for the greatest prospect and greatest opportunity that we have, and that is to become friends with Jesus. We do not mean that lightly, and we would not dare say it except for Jesus has told us that we can be his friend. He is always our Lord, and he should be our Savior. When he is, he must be our friend. God, there's some people here today who've never been saved. They know about you. They know about the crucifixion. They know about the cross, your death, burial, and resurrection. But they do not know you personally because they may be religious. They may have joined a church. They may be outstanding citizens, good moral people. They may be very sincere people. But until they're born again, born from above, born by the Spirit of God, one time, one place in their life, just like their physical birth, a spiritual birth, then we know they cannot be your friend. I pray today they'd be saved. And those that are saved, oh God, help us to have this sweet, tender fellowship and friendship with you as we obey you and do what we should do to live for you. And even though we fail, help us to get to the altar of prayer, to make things right so our friendship, our fellowship is not disturbed. Bless us and help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.